The Cappuccino Podcast brought to you in association with Tactical Solutions. For all your tactical solutions, check them out at www.tactical.co.nz.
It's that time again, so grab yourself a cup of joe
and get ready for the Cappuccino with Constable Brian.
All right, so my guest today on the Cappuccino Podcast is Ricky Lee McLean. Let's go through some of the sort of action woman activities she's done. Volunteer firefighter. Firefighter at Auckland Airport Emergency Service. Now a New Zealand Police Constable. Originally from the deep dark south and representing Dunstan High. She is, I like this, a defender turned attacker sometimes. She also happens to be a ice fern, one of the players for the champion New Zealand WIHL team, the Auckland Steel, representing them in number 19. She is a current Ice Fern rep, and in April of 2024, she will be going to Turkey for the Division 2 Group B World Championships, April 1 to 7th. All sound about right, Ricky Lee?
Yeah,
gold. Gold. Okay, so speed round, dedicated to Speed, the world's greatest police movie, because it just is. If Ricky Lee McLean had a goal song, let's say that the NZWIHL said, yeah, you can have a goal song. I know that you don't score that often, but if you did, what would it be?
It's gonna give it to you.
Nice, there you go. There you go. Deadpool, God bless. Best injury you've ever had that you can tell us about?
I actually haven't had too many serious injuries.
Oh, let's keep that going. Especially not before April. Last binge watch that you did.
Oh, Yellowstone.
There you go. Favourite New Zealand Ice Hockey League men's team? If it's not the marker, you're not here.
Men's team. In the men's team. I have to come back to that one. Sorry.
All right, good. Suddenly there's a whole bunch of West Auckland Admirals going, it's us, it's us.
It's always Stampede.
Yeah. One sport that you just cannot watch, doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, tennis.
Yeah, me too. Good work. The greatest of all time of all sports is who, in your opinion?
Oh, I come back to that one too.
Gold, coming back for a lot. Okay, so turning back the clock just a little bit, when you were at school, what did you want to be when you were at school? Because I'm guessing if I'd said to you, hey, you're going to be an ice hockey player, you're going to be a firefighter, you're going to be a police officer, you know, you'll teach at the age of 21, you'll teach kids how to skate at the local rink. I'm guessing none of that was happening. So what did you want to be when you were at school?
I actually want to be a marine biologist.
There you go. Yeah, that's cool, right? What attracted you in the first instance to become a volunteer fighter? Because as you and I both know, I'm an ex-volley as well. So much of the fire service is propped up by volunteers. For me, it was because I was scared of heights, and I needed to get over the heights to join the police. What was it for you that made you join the volleys?
I don't really know, to be honest. I just kind of fell into it, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I saw a sign, I'm pretty sure, saying we wanted volunteers. And I, was pretty keen to give it a go. And, rocked up to one of their fire training sessions and they said, come along.
Yeah.
Try out. And I haven't looked back, I guess.
That's all good. and it was because of that that you got introduced to the ice, wasn't it? There was a job going. If I've read the story right, there was a job going at the local rink teaching kids how to ice skate or something.
So basically I just needed a job, and I had a friend, a really good friend of mine, and she said that they had jobs at the rink going, but I needed to know how to skate so I could teach our first year primary kids.
Yep.
So, learned how to skate. I probably wasn't really that good when I was teaching them, but I got better as the years went on. Learned how to skate and started doing that. And, loved working at the rink. Worked there for ages, even when I was a firefighter at the airport. I stayed there just part-time doing coaching. Yeah.
Now, for all of our Canadian listeners, because they, those guys and girls, they just ice skate, like, literally from about the age of two. And as I frequently say, when I go and play games of shinny with the kids in the outdoor rinks up there, it's like getting owned every time, and they're only like 4-year-olds. How long did it take you to learn how to ice skate just so that you could stand up and do everything? Because there's lots of our listeners that haven't ever ice skated.
Oh, well, I'm still learning how to skate. Yeah. But, yeah, probably definitely a good season. I think I was pretty lucky in the sense that, I mean, I was getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
But also I was just on the ice so much. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't, like, I'd be on the ice for, like, 5 to 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, so...
Yeah, and that's I think that's the difference between women and men. Almost every single fern I've spoken to, when I say to them, how would you rate your skating ability or something else, it's always like, oh, I'm still learning. Whereas the guys are like, yeah, okay, I'm just an average skater, but that's all good. So that's all good. So you tried all sorts of sports as a kid. Some of the most random sports. Kayak polo, netball, touch. Were you a bit of a sport bully at school?
Yeah, I guess so. Also, when I was younger, mum kind of just let me just try whatever I wanted to. I think at one point I did a bit of tap dancing,
yeah.
yeah, and karate and stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of sports that I have tried. Yeah, and some of them stuck.
Question, were you trying to pick the world's most random sports? Because, I mean, kayak polo is not a cheap sport, as we both know. Ice hockey is not a cheap sport either. Yeah, so where do you think your sporting prowess comes from? Is it your mum or is it your dad or...?
I don't know, to be honest. I think my dad, actually, he was quite sporty. Yeah, did a lot of surfing and rugby and stuff when he was younger. So probably a bit from him. Mum also, yeah, she did a bit of judo and, yeah, loved being in the gym and stuff like that as well. So maybe both of them, yeah.
Now, then you go on to become a full-time firefighter at Auckland Airport. What was the selection and the training like for that? Because, I mean, it's so that the listener knows, it's different from Foreign Emergency New Zealand, isn't it,
yep.
When you do stuff at the airport. So is the selection or the training any different because you're dealing with, like, aviation fuel and, let's be honest, without trying to upset or worry too many people, when aeroplanes catch on fire, they generally... tend to make a fairly big bang. Yeah, so was it any different from what the normal stock standard firefighter would do or not?
I always refer to it as like same but different.
Yeah.
So yeah, we learn a lot of the basic firefighter skills that are like the same as FENS or fire and emergency, and the only difference is that we learn a lot more about the aviation side of it, I guess. So the structure of an aircraft, like you said, Jet A1, all the different kinds of fuels. And how to deal with it.
Yeah.
The selection process, though, is a little bit different. We do a beep test, so that's not something that's traditionally done in FENS.
Yep.
And then, just a basic kind of strength and fitness test as well. And then you move on to a pack day, which is just a lot of team building activities and see how you go for the whole day. And then you move on to an interview and, yep, that's how that goes.
It always amazes me. I don't think people actually realise how good firefighters are at things like maths and physics and basic chemistry, because, you know, you can't do this with that fire extinguisher, or you can't do that with this particular stuff. You know, how many cubic metres of foam have we got left in the truck and that type of stuff. So, yeah, I'll pass on that. Anyway, so New Zealand Women's Ice Hockey League players and the Ice Ferns remind me a little bit of some of the athletes from my day, because they basically, you guys work at a normal everyday job, as well as repping your sport. And you often, as you've often said in many newspaper articles, you often either miss a training or you go straight from a night shift to morning training or straight from a day shift to a night game or something else like that. How taxing is that on you? Because it must begin to take its toll. I mean, you've got, let's say, for instance, at the weekend, you've got 2 Auckland Steel games. You've come off shift and everything else. You must be knackered some days.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does take a bit of a toll on you. Just becoming, yeah, really, really tired. So I don't really know, to be honest, because I feel like it's like slightly different. So you'll come off a night shift or a day shift or whatever, but then I'm still just as amped to get on the ice.
Yep.
So even though I might not have a lot left in the tank, I somehow still find it.
Yeah, and that's the truth, right? So there is an argument that lots of people say, because athletes like yourself work hard during the day and you can handle crisis in your daily job, obviously as a firefighter and a police officer, and you've got some super, super talented wahine toa in some of those NZWHL teams, Dr. Helen to start off with, you know, all those types of people, right? That you guys are better at actually handling crisis on the rink than, say, maybe a pampered athlete is Having been a firefighter, having been, well, now being a cop, even if it's only just a baby cop, what do you think to that? Do you reckon that's true or not? Because, I mean, you see a lot of those athletes who are really pampered, they've got to make a tough decision, and the first thing they do is turn around to the coach and have a look, and the coach goes, do this. Whereas I think a lot of those people who work daytime jobs maybe have got a little bit of crisis, they've got a little bit of lifetime experience, they actually go, you know what, I got this. I can ask the coach for their opinion, but I'm going to make a call.
Yeah, I think, perhaps we do have a little bit more resilience, just in the sense that, especially being a self-funded athlete, that we don't really have the time or the finances to make mistakes or not make decisions, yep. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So
some people have got some idea. I always ask this of all ice hockey players, and they're really humble. It's like, oh, you know, just at the gym training, and that's about it. You work super hard at the gym. I've seen some of your workouts, right? And I'm like, right. And if it's not dark when you're running, then it's obviously you're having a bad day. But how hard are you training now to make the worlds and give it a nudge for that gold medal? Because nobody, let's be honest, nobody's going there to get a bronze, are they?
No.
All right, so that we've got some idea, right, and, you know, you've got your work as a police officer as well, what's training looking like at the moment for you? So if we went Monday, what are you doing?
I don't really have a lot of concept of, like, days of week,
yep.
of the week.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'll be honest, at the moment I'm actually in a little bit of a slump when it comes to working out, but I still am pushing through it. Definitely trying to get at least three cardio sessions in a week, and then strength most days of the week, so probably 5 to 6 days. I've just made the decision of not doing any work during my night shifts, and between my night shifts, sorry.
Yeah.
So it definitely is a lot of strength, and just moving into a bit more explosive exercises as well.
Yeah. When you say cardio session, though, you've been quite modest there, because my cardio session on a good day is like 35, 40 minutes at sort of, I don't know, 60, 70% of my heart rate. Yours is?
Oh, it varies. So, yeah, some days I'll try to take it a little bit slower to keep my heart rate lower.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, some days I just want to go as fast as I can.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's the good mix in between slower cardio and, I guess, just that explosive sprints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get a bit more into the sprint side of things now.
Yeah. And so the average person knows, because I don't think they've got any idea. And I've asked people, and they're all sort of like, oh, well, you know, I've asked AJ Spiller this, I've asked Justin Daigle this, Helen and everybody else. We know that the lines are always shifting in hockey, right? So it's not like rugby. Well, it's not like rugby used to be back in my day, where there was only 15 players play on the field. Girls are constantly changing your lines. You know, you're not probably out there for any longer than 90 seconds, and if it's a 90-second line, that's a long time.
Mm.
How hard is it to skate full noise for 90 seconds? If you were going to compare it to another exercise, what would it be like?
Exactly, probably like sprinting, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, if you've been out there for too long, because you'll have the coach yelling at you because you'll be too slow.
Yeah. I asked a guy in Canada, and he said it's like doing an 800 meters sprint. He said that's the longest you go, and I'm like, right, gotcha, no problems.
Yeah.
And great move on not training on your days off after night shifts as well, because that first day after a night shift is a killer, isn't it? It's like you are literally like the waking dead.
Yeah.
You don't, like you said, I have no idea what day it is, and I'm here in body, and people are saying things to me. I actually got to the stage where I used to have to take a book and write things down, because people would say, I spoke to you about it on Tuesday, and I'm like, that's the day after night shift is finished, I'm done. It's all good. So, lots of people don't realise that the Ice Ferns have actually got to raise lots of the funding to actually get to Turkey themselves, haven't they?
Yeah, so Individually we have to raise, it's just, I think it's in between $4,500 and $5,000.
Yeah.
So it is subsidised slightly, but yeah, it's still a big amount of money, especially for those that have got kids and stuff like that.
Yep.
I know Ange, she's awesome at fundraising, but she's got two young kids at home, so...
Yep.
No doubt that that's hard on her, but yeah, everyone has their own life commitments as well, so it's a big cost, you know, on top of everything else.
Now, I know that you were doing physical challenges to raise money.
Yeah.
And you were, yeah, I was going to put some money in there and say, burpees, I love them. Let's, maybe not as much as you will, but is there any way that listeners of the Cappuccino podcast can help you or any of the other Ice Ferns out in getting to Turkey? Is there, do you guys have a give a little page, or you're going to get something set up, or what's the best way for us to do that?
Oh, I have something in the pipeline at the moment that will open up fundraising to other people as well.
Yeah.
We don't really have anything for the Ice Ferns in general.
Yep.
But just any sort of exposure is great. Like if you just go onto our Instagram page, follow our Instagram, support, post about us, all that sort of stuff. That's like, that's gold, you know, that's the exposure stuff. And hopefully we can move towards, getting some better sponsorships for the team in the coming years.
So watch your space, because if the girls actually do some type of fundraising, I don't know, maybe you sell t-shirts or whatever, I'll let you know about it on the Cappuccino podcast. There's definitely no problems with that. And please, if you like this podcast or any of the other podcasts featuring any of the Ice Ferns, make sure that you tag them in on it, because like Ricky Lee said, you know, prospective sponsors are going to see that, and they're going to start getting that social media Tumblr dryer effect where they start getting more likes. So, as a firefighter, I love this quote, this is just gold, right? As a firefighter, hockey didn't look too scary to me. I love the competitiveness and the physicality of it. And we're fortunate women have to wear full cage masks. Apart from sounding like a UFC fighter, and that is gold, right? I've been to a number of games, both seeing you on YouTube playing for the Ferns and also the Steel at the local rink. And let's be honest, you kind of take no prisoners, because, right? But what's your pre-game routine look like? I mean, what's the music you play? How do you get yourself into the zone?
Oh,
so to speak,
it's right? Actually really funny, because I spent quite a while, a few years, trying to figure out, you know, what my pre-game rituals would be and what all that looked like for me. But I think in the last few seasons, I've just kind of realized I just like being a bit of a dick and dancing around with the girls in the changing room before we go out. I know in the last Auckland Steel season, and the last sort of weekend leading up to the finals, we just, all were dancing and singing in the changing rooms and just having a good time. And I think everyone was feeling real amped up. So I actually think that's a bit of me. That's what I like to do.
I've got to be honest. The first time I looked at the Ice Ferns when I came back from Canada from a trip, I was like, I've got to get more involved with local ice hockey. I think I actually saw a video of you guys all dancing, and I'm like, the hell is going on here? But you guys seem to be having a great party, and I mean, same with the Ferns, same with the Steel, and a whole bunch of those other teams as well. You know, you get your families out there, you're having photos with friends and family and everything else. Do you have any superstitions before you go out on the rink, or is there anything that you do? You know, some people put coins in their skates, and others have, they've got to have like a red band on their thing, on their hands, or they've got to have something written about their family on the forearm or something.
No, I actually don't really have any superstitions, to be honest. I just,
get on with it.
Just
and go.
Get on with it.
Who's the most superstitious player in the Ferns that you know who's got like a pre-match ritual that if you upset them with it, they tend to go a bit NATO on it?
Rebecca Lilly.
And what is it? Can you tell us?
I know that she takes a while to get ready for the ice. Yeah, she does a lot of wrapping.
Yeah.
Like just on her injuries and things like that. So, and she likes to have a fresh face of makeup
right.
and all that.
Gold, So you're just throwing her right under the bus as well. That's all good.
She looks good, though.
Yeah, that's good. And that's what it's all about. Yep. So, who's your favourite NHL player? And I know that you don't watch huge amounts, because you're a little bit like me, you're a bit busy, but
Say just like, you know, your stock standard, you won't like this, but Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, no, you're right, I wouldn't like that, but that's okay. That's all good.
I can give you my favourite PWHL player.
Go.
Sarah Nurse, she's awesome.
Nice, that's all good.
Yeah. Can I add for the NZWHL my favourite player?
Yeah, you can.
Sorry, can it be NZWHL instead of NZIHL?
Can be whoever you want. So, go.
Okay. My favourite NZWIHL player would be Abby Hill.
Okay, why? Is the question I'm going to ask you.
I just think she's an amazing all-rounder. She's such a great skater, a great ice hockey player, and she just her leadership is awesome. Like, I don't know if you saw last season, they had both of their goalies out playing Queenstown, and she jumped in net. Like, what an amazing captain.
Insane. And there are some people like that who are just amazing people. You know, I've never played defender in my life, but you wear shorts, so let's do it.
Yeah.
And they always seem to, like, do well or do something else. If I said to you, where's the one position in hockey that you wouldn't want to play, where would it be?
Goalie.
Despite the fact that you've got, like, I'm a firefighter, right? The face cage and everything else.
I think it's pretty hectic, you know, and I guess you're that last line of defence, I guess. You know, obviously if a goal scored against you, it's the whole team that's made the mistake. But, yeah, it is, I can imagine. I know a few goalies and, you know, they always, some of them beat themselves up about it, even though it might not actually be their fault.
Yeah.
I played a season in a beginner's league as a goalie a few years ago, and it was really hard, and it definitely gave me a new respect for a goalie.
Yeah, I used to play goalie in field hockey. That's part of the reason I got involved with ice hockey, is because I saw ice hockey. I'm like, man, this is way better than field hockey. It's like field hockey on steroids. For me, goalkeepers, goaltenders are really, really good at making the shift. The good ones at, the goal's gone behind me. It's gone through the entire team. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Let's just switch on and get back into it. Whereas, you know, you see some players and their heads will droop and everything else. But most goaltenders, to be, I think, in my opinion, tend to be probably some of the most resilient people on the on the rink or the pitch, because they can just make that switch and go, one's gone past. Well, good. They're also really good trash talkers as well, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah, goalies are always a little bit loopy too.
Yeah,
you know? They're all a bit crazy. They got their own little flavour to them.
Yeah, that's it. What are you trying to say? Right, now most New Zealanders are NHL fans. You can tell by the sort of period or the era that they've started watching the game, because that's generally the team that they support. Now, you can tell quite clearly from what I'm wearing as well that I am a diehard Calgary man, because I watched the Flames in 89 when they won the Stanley Cup. Who's your favourite, like, NHL team?
The Penguins, probably.
Goodness me, no accounting for taste, so it's all good. Right, so like you mentioned, the PWHL, how excited about that are you? Because that's pretty awesome, isn't it? You've got these teams now that are beginning to go, and they're going to expand. It makes only sense. Out in the States and Canada. Have you been watching some of those games or not?
Yeah, I've watched a couple. I've been trying to watch them as much as I can, but the good thing about them is that they're all on YouTube, so you can watch them anytime.
Yeah.
It's awesome to watch, though, because just the level of hockey that they play, and I like that the refs are kind of leaving them to it a little bit, so they're not calling all the contacts, even though you're not allowed to do, you know, full checking into the boards and stuff like that. They actually are doing quite a lot of physical plays, which is so cool to see, and just like the finesse and the stick work and everything that they do is just, it's really cool to watch.
Now I'm going to ask you the $64 million question. Let's say that somebody watches an Ice Fan game and goes, hey, that number 19's not doing too bad. And they gave you the call up. Would you be as keen as mustard to give it a shot?
I'd definitely like to play with them, but I'm pretty sure they're
you'd get smoked.
Tell me where to go.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all good. Right. Now, with like for the steel you wear number 19, some players get really, really like super protective of their number, you know. I've got to wear that number, otherwise I can't even play.
Yeah.
Are you that way inclined, or you don't care? You know, if they give you like 302, you're like, I don't care, I'm just out on the rink having fun.
Yeah, I don't really mind too much. I definitely, my favourite number is actually number 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's my preferred number. In the Auckland Steel, it's funny because Sophie Harold wears number 13, but in Ferns, she wears number 19.
Yep.
And so, in Steel, it's like we've switched.
Yep.
So I'd rather wear number 13 than she'd rather wear number 19, but it's the other way around.
Look, you can't argue with it. I mean, I know some teams where they've literally, the team managers just basically pulled a jersey out of the bag and went, you're that.
Oh,
and that player's like, yeah, okay, cool.
That would definitely upset a few people, I would say.
There you go, all right. So now, as recent events in Japan have shown, when fires and planes collide and everything else, it can be a real tragedy, right? And as we both know, most first responders know as well, most people know, let's be honest, if there's a fire on an airplane, things can get really bad real quick, right? And sometimes, thanks to brilliant air crew and service crew on the airlines and everything else, most of the time they'll get people off and things like we saw in Japan. But did you ever stop to think, And I mean, touch wood, we've had none of these incidences. Let's not have any. But did you ever stop to think when you were actually out on the truck or something else, man, this could be really bad. I might not be going home if this plane goes up. Did you ever stop and think about it or not?
Nah, not. I've never really thought about that. I just think, I guess, yeah, it could be naivety. I don't know. Like, you always think you're going to be going home. Yep. You know, no one ever thinks that they're not.
Yep.
But I also think when I was at Fire, I also had a really good crew around me.
Yep.
So I guess that's the biggest thing is teamwork, and that's in any job, you know, just having each other's back. So I don't think I ever thought anything bad would happen to me necessarily. Yeah, so just looking out for each other.
That's all good. Now, mental health-wise, and I always ask this of all my guests, you're a national sports representative, you're a sort of local region representative, you're a police officer, you've been a firefighter. That's, but I mean, let's be honest, it's not always fun being an ice fern, is it? No, it isn't, right? Okay, and it's not always fun being a member of the Auckland Steel. We know that it's not fun being a police officer, and there's some days when you're a firefighter it sucks the big kuma as well. What do you do for your mental health? What's the thing that you do to sort of completely switch off, this is my space type, leave me alone? Some people play video games, some people like myself will watch the NHL, other people will go for a run. What do you do to rebalance your scales?
Yeah, I really like sleeping.
Well, there you
so
go, yeah.
I will, yeah, definitely have a sleep. I just find that sometimes, like with mental health especially, decisions don't need to be made straight away. So I think if you can have a quick or a rest, and then I'll go to usually the ocean, some sort of form of water. I believe a lot in that water's quite a healing, I guess it's quite, water's healing.
Yeah.
So I find that it's like a nice physical thing to do that washes whatever's on you away, you know. Definitely go down to the down to the ocean for a swim.
And I've also heard some people will go for a swim in the ocean because it actually makes them realise how insignificant they are.
Yeah.
When they're sort of there and it's like, whoa, check that out.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
Okay, right. So then in somewhere in all of that, you know, National Ice Hockey Champs, New Zealand Ice Ferns, firefighting, you decide to become part of the Blue Farm now, right? The police. What was your reasoning behind that?
I just think I needed a bit of a change, to be honest.
Yep.
I'd been doing that my previous career, in fire for about 9 years probably.
Yeah.
I just kind of liked the idea of going into police. A lot of the jobs that police attend resonate with me quite a bit.
Yep.
I come from, as a child, a bit of family harm, I guess, mental health issues, things like that. And considering that's one of the, or a couple of the biggest jobs that police go to, I think that it was really important for me to kind of share my experiences and hopefully relate to a few people that are going through it.
Yeah.
And try, yeah, give back and make those situations better than I found them. So I think that's a huge reason why. And I also really enjoy or like the look of a lot of the different pathways that are in place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. So how did you find the training? And what would you say to anybody now thinking about joining? Because, I mean, there will be some people, there'll be some young girls, I'm sure, who will look at you and go, wow, you know, she's an ice fern, she's been a firefighter, now she's a police officer, when's the action figure coming up? Right, but what would you say to them? Because, I mean, I very often get questions. I mean, I trained like 28 years ago, so it's kind of changed a bit. Cell phones were only just coming out, for goodness sake. But, you know, people say to me, oh, what do you think about the training? And my golden rule is, go and join all the run groups and everything else if you want, but at the end of the day you have to be able to do this on your own. Nobody's going to be running alongside you at 3 a.m. in Mount Wellington going, come on Ricky Lee, you can do this. So my thing is always, yeah, go and do the running groups and everything else, but make sure that you can not only do it, but you can absolutely smash it out of the park on your own by yourself at the gym. All good. What advice would you give to somebody?
Yeah, I think the same. Like, you know, if you want it, you'll get it. So I think you have to really, yeah, you have to push yourself sometimes. You know, you have to dig deep and just get it done. You know what the end goal is. So it's just anything you can do to work towards that is the best, yep. you know. I would say the training is really fun. It already feels like I've been in for so long. my training started in August, so yeah, in 4 months it flew by. It was really fun. We had quite a good course, and I would say make the most of the 4 months. But yeah, you've got to get there first. So yeah, just putting your head down and getting to work, and you know, all of the requirements are all online. So just looking at what you need and inching yourself towards that slowly. I know there's a lot of people that worked really, really hard on their physical side or their fitness side
yep.
to get to police college. So yeah, I think yeah, the fitter you are, the better. And even to be honest, like when I was doing one of my physical assessments, a girl missed out by 2 seconds.
Yeah.
2 seconds. Yeah. You yep. know, like it's just like that sort of stuff's like heartbreaking to see, like. But she really wanted it, and yeah. I'm sure she's gone back and she's passed.
Now, lots of people, I mean, you get down to police college and, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, everybody says to you, Ricky Lee, don't tell everybody that you're in the Ice Ferns or something else like that, right? And that's what everybody says, you know, hey, don't give away all your abilities and don't tell everybody. There's lots of different national sporting reps down there and everybody's fairly sport billy-ish and everything else. When you got there, was it a bit of a kick to the ego to go, well, you know what, I mean, you're super fit anyway, but was it a bit of a kick to the ego when you got there and it's like, hang on, I'm only sort of three quarters or middle of the pack here, I'm actually not the sort of top dog like I normally am, or were you the top dog?
Cause, I never see myself as a top dog, nah. Yep. No, there's some awesome people down there to get to be motivated from.
Yeah.
So I think going down, I never was like, oh, you know, I'm this and I've done that and
yeah.
all that sort of stuff. I just met so many people that are just super fit and strong.
Yep.
And so it was really cool to kind of, I just felt quite happy to be part of the group,
I guess, you know.
And everyone was just motivated to push each other. And
and there's always that person in grey. Like we had a guy on my wing who we used to call him Granddad because I think he was 40 at the time when he joined. And we said, oh, what do you do? And, you know, they have that little class at the beginning. And it's like, oh, stand up and tell us something about yourself. And so with some of your sporting prowess or something else. He said, oh, I've done a couple of triathlons. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, in an age group probably. and he's like, oh, no, actually sort of coast to coast. And we said to him, oh, yeah, and, like, where did you come? And he's like, oh, second. He said, I lost to a guy called Steve Gurney. We were like, oh, my God. So there's always somebody there. Now, the future of ice hockey, especially women's hockey, in New Zealand looks really good. The under-18s just recently won in Bulgaria. The Ice Ferns are doing incredibly well. We're ranked 29th out of 81 countries for membership in ice hockey. Sooner or later, there's going to be an expansion, I'm guessing, in New Zealand Women's Ice Hockey League, probably. Yep. Is it an exciting time to be an Ice Fern or a women's ice hockey player in New Zealand?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I think in the last few years, everything women's sport is... It's a good place to be in right now.
Yeah.
The Black Ferns have really helped drive that. And then now you've got the women's football team as well. I think if there's an expansion team, I'm hoping it'll be Wellington.
Yep.
I guess I'm a little bit biased because I've just been 4 months with
them. I was going to say, yeah.
But
yeah.
They're awesome. Like, the girls down there, great. And it is looking really promising. Like, there are so many young guns that are coming through that I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be awesome when they are a little bit older, and definitely a good future, good bunch of future Ferns, I would say.
Now, I'm not saying that you or Murray or Mujalari are old maids of the game, but are you looking over your shoulder going, I mean, these guys are coming?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I work really hard every year to get a spot and with the New Zealand Ice Ferns.
Yeah.
I did go through quite a few years of being a reserve or being a reserve called up.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years I've been really fortunate that I've been selected straight off. But yeah, it's definitely getting a little bit more murky as the years go on. And there's just some really awesome young female women coming through from the under 18s that are now eligible for Ferns. And yeah, definitely I'm like, oh, starting to get
it's getting close.
Yeah.
Right, now a question for you. Will you try your hand at coaching when or if you hang up your skates?
Probably not like anything rep or anything like that, but I really enjoy just coaching in general. Yep. So when I was living closer to the rinks, I was helping out a little bit with like learn to play and stuff like yep. that, and I really enjoy doing all of that. And I go sometimes I'll go home to Central Otago and I'll jump on the ice with them as well and help out with their young kids coming through with ice hockey. Yep. Yeah, really enjoy it, really enjoy teaching ice skating and ice hockey to young kids.
Perfect. Guys, the next question is now the Auckland Ice Hockey Association and lots of other rinks run learn to play courses for yep. kids, for adults. So, you like you said, I sometimes go to the rink and help out. What advice would you give to a newbie who has just started off and maybe just learnt to skate? Because, you know, I can't skate very well at all. I've got friends of mine in Canada who just think it's hilarious when I get on the ice because I say to them, I love goalies anyway, you know that, but, you know, I should be playing goalie because that's probably about as far as I could go. And then I saw Marc-Andre Fleury skating one day and I was like, no, that's never going to happen. But what advice would you give to them? Because lots of people can skate, but then when you put the stick in their hand and say, okay, all I want you to do is deke a little bit, or, you know, if you could just basically just give it a little bit of a wrist shot here, they're like, oh, hang on, two motor function skills at once, can't do it. So what advice would you give them?
I guess mine's a little bit practical, but just send it. Just get out there and do it, you yeah. know? Like, you're never going to get better if you're not doing it. No. So,
yeah,
you may as well just get amongst and throw yourself in the deep end. And, you know, you're eventually, at some point, you're always going to be that player who's maybe not the best on the team.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there. I'm still there now. I've just started playing with in the BHL, so it's quite a fast league with a lot of the NZIHL guys in there.
Yep.
And I'm definitely feel like I'm one of the best in the team. But it's a really humbling thing to do, especially as an adult, learning a new sport
yep.
And new skills is, yeah, it's humbling and it's a good thing to do. You learn a lot about yourself and about the sport as well, I think, just by throwing yourself in the deep end.
Yeah. Now, there's been, on the odd occasion, there's been a little bit of cross-code swapping where we've had a female goaltender come in and play for one of the NZIHL teams. It's happened in the NHL a couple of times as well, only on sort of practice or festival games, carnival-type games. If you got the invite, would you give it a shot?
I mean, yeah, I'd play with the boys probably. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do now.
Yeah.
Not in the NZIHL.
No.
I'd probably get smashed against the glass. Yeah. But yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know why, I always think, you know, what if you got like a hybrid team here and you actually managed to get the Ice Blacks and the Ice Ferns here rather than just basically, you know, basically saying, okay, girls against boys, because we've all been there and done it, that's boring. Mix them up, change them over, and learn some skills from one another.
Yeah.
And like if you played women's ice hockey league rules, I think it'd be fine for everybody. I don't think there'd be too many major injuries.
I'd love to do a mix, of NZWIHL and NZIHL. Guys and girls mix up and make two teams, and that'd be awesome.
There we go, AJ Spiller, you can have that idea for free. Okay, so last question. Well, we used to do the eulogy question, but I'm a bit over that now. So what I'm going to do in 2024 is this. I'm going to ask you three things that are on your bucket list, and I'm then going to ask you why they're on your bucket list. So this is a tough one. This is a really tough one. So if I said to you, okay, you've got your bucket list, what's an item off your bucket list that you really would like to do and why?
In 2024?
No, just in general. Okay. Or in 2024 if you want. Obviously, I'm guessing that if you did it for 2024, winning gold in Turkey would be number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Gold. And I know the why behind that, so I'll give you that one. So you've got two more left to go.
I guess it is a bit of a bucket list thing. Buy my first home. My first home.
Yeah. And the why behind that's fairly obvious as well. Yep.
This is a hard question.
Yeah, it is. It's a real tough one. Yep. But there's nobody that you'd like to meet as a sporting person and spend half an hour with them, or there's nobody that you'd like to meet in the world and go, you know what, I'd like to chat to you about this if you had the opportunity, or something else like that. No, that's all good.
Because I used to have a bucket list as well. I'm trying to think what was on it. Because I did one recently. I ticked one off.
Which was what?
Cage diving in South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, right. Nice. Yeah. You lunatic is all I'll say to that. Yeah. So that's great. We'll just leave it at that. That's fine. So if you want to follow Ricky Lee or any of the other Ice Ferns, then the best place to go is to go to the Ice Ferns Instagram account. You can go to the Auckland Steel Instagram account and follow them there. Like Ricky Lee has said, make sure that you tag those teams in, because the more tags, the more likes they get on social media, the easier it is for them to find a sponsor or something else, or get some support for the women's game in New Zealand. Ricky Lee, thank you very much for your time, because I know that you are on, like I am, on days off. That's always good fun, isn't it? Yeah, and best of luck in Turkey. I'm sure you'll do us proud. How do I put this nicely? If you don't get the gold, don't come back. All right?
I'll try my best.
Thanks for listening. But please do Constable Brian and I a favour and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next Coppuccino podcast. Real people, real stories.